Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Humor Outcast Radio. I'm Donna Cavanaugh, and today we have a return guest. This gentleman is just so funny. He has created this wonderful book, Bernadette Peters Hates Me, True Tales of a Delusional Man, and it's just... It's garnered such great reviews, and he's done so many book signings. And we're going to talk about all that because I think it caught him off guard how successful this book would be. And not me, because I know what a talented guy he is, but I think he's a little humble about this kind of thing. So let's bring in Keith Stewart, and let's talk about this great book. Okay, Keith, are you there?
Hi, I am. Thanks for having me.
I like to check back with you because you've been like, you're just like being crazy with this book. Were you surprised by the reaction to it and how many people just loved it and the word that spread about it?
I was just totally surprised and taken aback by it. You know, I actually thought that my mom and a few other friends would probably buy it, and that would be it. I think mom is still trying to break Amazon rules by making a review. I thought, well, that'll be my only good review, you know, that sort of thing. But I've been floored by the turnout that the book has gotten and the response that it's gotten. So I've been very, very lucky, I think.
And, you know, it's not even just in reviews on Amazon. You've had quite a few book signings where there have been lines for people, you know, to get your book. Plus, it's been nominated. You're a finalist in the IAN, which is the Independent Author Network book contest, which is just an amazing thing. And so it's not just it's not just friends and family or people
right.
Or friends and family. You have gotten great critical reviews. You've been written up in so many different things. And it's so funny, places where we say, oh, my God, look where you are.
Yeah, I think you're probably tired of me emailing you like and saying, oh, my God, look at this. Did you see this?
That never gets tiresome, Keith.
But, it's been a fun ride since this book has taken off and a total surprise.
And I think one of the things that surprised me as a publisher and is that you were able to open doors into independent bookstores and welcome you in there. And that's when, I mean, I knew when I read the book because I would howl out loud laughing. And so I knew when it was just an amazing book, that it was just so funny and so well written. But it took on a whole new life when the independent bookstores also opened up their doors to you. And that was great. It was something you just dream about.
It really is. It's been a dream come true. And having those bookstores, you know, willing to let me come in one day and you know, set up shop, basically, and read to some people and sign some books, that's just been absolutely remarkable and such a good experience. It's been tough. You know, the nerves, I think, are always the worst part because each time I have had a book reading or anything, I've convinced myself like an hour before that no one's going to show up and it'll just be me and, you know, like the person that I swore, you know, that I would bring in people to the bookstore, you know, that would be the only person there. So it's been a lot of fun and each time a great relief to see people actually come in.
And it's so, you know, I always like to put up pictures on your author page, and I'll do that again when I post the show. And it just is amazing. Like, people, you can tell when they're in there that you've had them laughing. You can tell. They're smiling from ear to ear, and it's the stories that you tell. And if you had to pick, okay, which one do you think is, do you hear from people? What is their favorite story that you tell? Is there one that stands out for them?
The one I have had mentioned the most to me is the bird attacking me in the grocery store story.
I and, think you just say that and I giggle.
I think maybe because no matter where you live, everybody now has those huge stores that have, you know, no ceiling in them. They just have beams and stuff. And there's always, no matter where it is, there's birds trapped in there. And so I think everybody has silently had, you know, in the back of their mind that fear that, what if that bird were to fly into my head? And, you know, once it actually happened and they've read that, you know, that it could happen, it's happened to someone else, I don't know. It seems to have struck a chord with a lot of people. So that's probably been the most.
You might have started a whole new phobia for people, bird and Home Depot store phobia. Can't go in there. There are birds. There are birds.
Exactly. And then
I can't, I mean that just cracked me up because it's a popular thing now, and I've actually attempted it, so I could identify with your angst throughout the whole thing.
I've had the people that have mentioned the hot yoga are people who have been there, and because, man, I tell you, it is just, it's horrible.
Well, I think men, too, I think, and don't take this wrong, but I think men just sweat more. I mean, everybody sweats in hot yoga, but when you go in there and there's men there, they're like slipping all over their mats and stuff.
Exactly. Before it even starts, as soon as you walk in, if you're a man, you're glistening.
It's so true. And, like, you know, they go out before the class starts looking for, like, a little bit of air conditioning before they actually have to start the thing.
Exactly. And I don't know. I have no idea why that's so popular.
It's horrible. It's absolutely horrible.
I know, like, one person who is a devout hot yoga person, and she just – it was as if I had two heads. She was like, I can't believe you had that experience. You just, you know, you went to the wrong studio, or you need to try it again. And I'm like, oh, no way. I'm not trying it again, you know.
It's 100 degrees in there, and you're making me exercise at 100 degrees with other sweaty people. Watching them is not fun.
Exactly. Not fun at all.
So I guess, like, you wouldn't go to one of those hot things, you know, those detox huts that they put,
no.
That, you know.
Absolutely not. I have a friend, actually, who does go to those. And
really?
People,
the
like,
sweat
lodges.
That's the
yeah,
name of
sweat
it.
Lodges. I'm like, there's no way. There's no toxin that I could possibly have that I would want rid of enough.
That's when you get sentimental about those toxins. You want it to stay with you.
Exactly. I have earned that toxin. I'll just keep it.
That's right. If it's that intent on staying in me that I have to go to a sweat lodge to set it out, it's going to be with me.
Right. Exactly.
And so... And all this, have you heard from Bernadette Peters, or has she just ignored you?
I have not. She is just totally ignoring me. She's still upset. She's not responding at all.
I'm actually sort of shocked because after the response from the book, and it got so much press, I thought that, you know, she could have been classy about it and had her people send out a memo saying, I laughed. I'm no longer mad at you. But apparently she is.
But I think she is. Yeah, I think she's still a little angry. I haven't sent her a direct copy, like, to her. She has an address on her fan club page, and
oh my God,
I think
we
I'm
should
just,
do that.
Yeah, I think this yeah. actually this past week I found the address, and I thought, okay, I'm just going to send it. She's not going to respond any other way. So she may send me just the standard 8x10 glossy with her signature on it or something, but or she may ignore it completely again.
Or, you know, you can get a restraining order, too. It could go a lot of different ways.
I can get legal paperwork.
Yeah, and then you know she saw it.
I have had. That's probably the second story as far as the people responding, because now I get emails and people post things on my Facebook wall. Anything with Bernadette Peters, you know, that she's appearing in, I get notices of now from friends and family.
Well, of course, it's because they think because you're, you know, devoted at one point.
Exactly. And, you know, the thing is, I wasn't even really devoted to her. I was completely mistaken about who she was.
You were really devoted to Madeline Kahn. Maybe you
exactly.
need a new book. Madeline Kahn hates me. Poor Madeline Kahn. She won't be responding.
I hope not.
Yeah. So a lot, though, has gone on. It's not a year since we did the book. It's about
uh-huh.
6 months, 7 months, I guess, since
uh-huh.
we did the book.
Uh-huh.
It was April, right?
Right.
That was around April, the spring that it came out.
Yeah.
Just take a little bit, because it has really been a whirlwind year. You got married, right?
Uh-huh. I did.
So all this stuff and all, I mean, it just seemed like such a fun whirlwind year. Did the book add, you know, like it was like the lead of all the frivolity? I know you and Andy have been thinking you were getting married for years and years and years. You've been together for years.
Right.
But you finally got to do it.
Yeah.
And but it's just like if you had to describe 2016, because since 6 months of 2016, how would you describe it?
It's been absolutely amazing. It has been, like you said, a whirlwind, and just, you know, one good thing after another so far, knock on wood, has happened.
Yeah.
And it's just been, it's been amazing the entire year. The actual, it started, you know, this spring with the book and good things happening with that. And then the day of the wedding, we went to New Orleans to get married. And so, I mean, you can't go to New Orleans and not have a good time anyway. So, you know, and then add getting married, you know, onto that. But the morning of the wedding, I had found out that the queertea.com had listed, you know, the book as one of its Memorial
Day
reads
or something.
I know,
and the morning of your wedding, I'm getting emails from you. The morning of your wedding.
I'm like, man,
there it is.
Day
there it is.
Better?
I'm like thinking to myself, isn't he getting married?
Yeah, so I was just like completely, you know, for an hour or two overwhelmed with that instead of the wedding. So it was just an amazing day. And
it was
for the entire
cool because
year.
That was that's such a good site. And I mean, like, we were hoping for a nod from them, but for them to feature it, they had to read it and see and just laugh with it, because
uh-huh.
it's not a site that just puts up, and
right.
you know, just posts things. So it had to be, again, another validation. Oh my gosh, they featured it, and amongst some pretty amazing books.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. It definitely was, and it's. It is. I think it is that validation that you get from, you know, when a total third party, you know, recognizes the book or you know, your work, and you think, wow, well, okay, you know, I don't know this person, so they had no reason to tell me it was an all right thing. So I think that validation probably was the biggest, surprise and good thing that came from it.
Yeah, and I think it was a great confidence lifter, because anyone who's read the book or read your posts, they know how talented you are. I mean, I met you a weekend at Irma Bombeck, and I could tell you just made me laugh there. So just getting a little bit of your work in, and I was just like, oh my gosh, I could tell you had no idea how talented you were.
Right.
And,
right.
And I think you still don't. I think you're Mr. Uh-huh. Businessman, you know, this and this and that, and you just don't realize how you make people laugh. Has that been a hard thing for you to come to that realization, like to be a little bit more open about your writing talent, or
it, yeah,
has that been hard or just easy?
It's been hard, but it's been something that has come along more since the book for sure has been out, and I think a lot of it has to do with the whole humor writing genre too. When you're hanging out with writers and different people who don't write humor, it's hard to get validation for being talented because if you don't write humor, you don't know how difficult it can be at different times to get your timing right or the words just right. And so not having other humor writers around, I think, and most of my writer friends are not humor writers, I think it was harder for me to see that okay, this stuff is not all that bad. It's not going to get published right. In like some academic journal or some literary journal, but that's okay.
But you never know.
That's true.
Who knows? Maybe University of Kentucky will come to you and say, "Hey, Keith, we want you to teach a full semester course on writing humor."
Well, that would be something. Yeah. You never know. That's the only thing
you
left that
can
pop this off.
Wait, we'll put it out to the universe. And so now that you have a little bit more confidence, you don't panic nearly as much when you have to go do readings or things
right. Like
that. Do you embrace writing more? Do you find that it's easier for you? Do you think about other projects down the road or expanding and go from writing to something else? Or how has that affected you? Do you think about anything different?
Not necessarily different, but I think I'm writing. I have more confidence in my writing, and therefore maybe I'm writing a little bit more than normal. Because a lot of times before, if something wasn't completely totally hilarious, to begin with, I wouldn't even start writing it. But now, I'm thinking, okay, this is a good subject. I can work with this, and I think I now have the confidence to kind of take that and go with it, and not necessarily in nonfiction, but in fiction writing, and
develop
a story.
Have you explored
that?
So you opened yourself up for fiction writing?
I have some this summer, and I have a couple projects that I've started, and it's so much. I find it so much more freeing because. Before I've been writing these strictly memoir-type essays, things that have happened to me, and now being able to make something up, it's just completely crazy to me that
yep.
I can, this didn't have to happen. I can write it, this way.
And I'm
so
not
going to
be in trouble. Nobody's
going
to yell at me.
Exactly.
My mother will call me up and say, "Really? Did you have to write about that?"
Exactly. Nobody's going to get mad.
I could just see, I mean, the way you describe your mom and how close you guys are, I can just see her giving you looks or, really, did you have to do this?
Yeah, exactly. That's how I know I've crossed the line or something, if I get, an OMG from her, a text or, a phone call. I don't answer the phone a couple days after my post.
So what else do you're going to do, or did you do, you had another book signing in September. Did you do it, or
uh-huh.
when are you doing it?
Actually, it's moved to the first, week in October, and that's
oh, nice.
Going to be,
okay.
Yeah, and that's in North Carolina. And
City Lights book.
Yes, and so I'm excited about that. I think that's the furthest away from home base that I've been for a book signing. So that's pretty exciting to head out there for that. And then actually just this past weekend, it was my first book club that I got that they had read my book, and then they had me for brunch.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, and so that was
you
was
ate brunch,
cool.
Right? They didn't have you for brunch.
Exactly. So Andy and I both went, and we're talk about the book and just writing in general and different books for a while with them. So that was a lot of fun. And I have a couple of other book clubs that have contacted me. So I'm hoping that comes through, because that was really a lot. I liked
doing that a lot. And when you talk with readers on that level, it's so much fun. Because you know that they got so much out of your book and they've enjoyed it so much. And so that's a lot of fun. So,
yeah,
Andy, is he like your serious side that keeps you grounded, or does he like roll his eyes a lot and say, oh, my God, here we go?
He kind of just rolls along with a lot of it. It's funny, a couple of different signings that we've had, people have asked him to sign the book as well, because they feel sorry for him, I think, because in some of the stories they're like, you've got to, you know, there's like a whole Team Andy going on. But he kind of just goes along with the flow. There's only occasionally does he say, do not post that, or do not write about that, or if you do, I will kill you. So I think as long as I know my limits, I'm okay there.
Are you like a little celebrity there in Appalachia there?
In my little hometown, maybe.
Are you like
I
the Jessica
the
Fletcher of wait, Hiding Kentucky?
I'm actually sponsoring a literary reading for our fall festival here in my hometown coming up in October. So,
that's
you
so
know,
cool.
Yeah, it's kind of opened up some doors there to maybe bring some more literary flair to the town.
Well, they seem like they enjoy it quite a bit because, number one, they're in there a lot.
I had one lady in my hometown come, you know, she said, I read your book and, you know, it was really good. And I said, oh, thank you. And she said, and you can change the names of those people if you want, but I know who you're talking about in there. And so I thought, oh, okay, that's probably the downside of the small town. It doesn't matter if you change names or not. They know.
Well, nobody yelled at you, right? Nobody said, hey, that's me. How dare you?
Right. No, nobody has.
So I think you're good.
Yeah, I think so.
Everybody wants 15 minutes of fame.
Right, exactly.
And as long as it didn't turn into a Peyton Place, I think you're good. You're good, you're good. So I want to make sure that people know where to read more of your work. Besides keep being on Humor Outcast, tell them about your blog. It's a wonderful blog, and it gets great review. I mean, people talk about your blog. So it's A Strong Man's Cup of Tea, right?
Right. You're right. A Strong Man's Cup of Tea.
Oh, wait, I should say it. Yeah, A Strong Man's Cup. I can't talk tonight. A Strong Man's Cup of Tea.com. And
yes.
Keith has posted so much of his work there, and it's just it's just a great blog. We will link your Twitter feed, which is Shiggly Oggly. Which why is that? I always wanted to ask you, why is that?
That was the name. When I was born, I have a sister who is 3 years older. And when I came home from the hospital after being born, my parents asked her what she wanted to name me, and she said Shiggly Oggly. And for some reason, that name stuck with them, and they that was like a nickname growing up. And so when Twitter came along, I thought, well, I'll just call myself Shiggly Oggly.
You couldn't have picked like a single syllable nickname.
I should have. It would have been much simpler.
But now I know the history of it, because I always, every time I like go to, you know, when I tweet something out for you and you know, I send them to your Twitter feed, I go, what is it?
What could that possibly mean?
I thought it was something like really cryptic. Now we know.
I really should make a better story for that.
And really, you're doing fiction. Come up with something a lot better than that. You were in the CIA. That was your operative name, or
exactly.
Something like that. Yeah. But we will post your social media info so that people can follow you. And again, look for Keith. I mean, I don't think this is ending soon. The book keeps going. It has this amazing life, and people are just laughing. I mean, I think the gasoline story, too. I'm not going to say to people, go read it and find out about the gasoline story.
Yeah, I get quite a few comments about.
I would think.
Yeah, and you know, today's gas pumps have kind of, they've changed the style of them, so I don't know that it's possible now.
I don't know. I think somebody could figure out how to do that.
Yeah, I'm sure they probably could. I could give it a whirl.
Yeah. Well, how about we just be safe? How about that? And once again, go ahead, say the name of your book, yell it out so everybody knows.
It's Bernadette Peters Hates Me, True Tales from a Delusional Man.
And I love the title. And we're going to send it to her. We just want to see what happens.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that would be a hoot. And so thank you so much for joining me.
Well, thank you for having me. Great.
And we're just so proud, AJ Press, of what you accomplished with this book, and for not only the sales of it and how well it's done, but only because you have just brought, laugh out loud entertainment and joy to people. And I think that's amazing.
Right.
And
well,
I know
you're
very
thank
humble,
you.
But I just think that's an amazing talent that very few people have, and I'm just in awe of it. So.
Well, thank
you
very much. I appreciate that.
And next week we have, it's actually a recorded show, but I will be at normal time. I'll be playing it, and it's with Margie Cherry. Her new book is coming out tomorrow. It's a coloring book for all you people to de-stress, new parents, grandparents. You know how kids bring it out, the stress out in you. And it's Mom's Comedy Coloring Book. And a lot of fun things in there as well. So that'll be our show next week. And, Keith, thank you so much for joining me tonight. You have a great night.
Thank you. You too.
Good night, everyone.